Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Every year, the most influential leaders in Hawaii, from business, entertainment, government, and military, converge at the Hilton Hawaiian Village Coral Ballroom for a time of prayer. The event is known as the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast. It's been going on for 35 years. Our guest today has been used by God to lead and develop this event from its inception. His story of God's guidance and provision and profound impact on society in Hawaii is bound to move your faith to higher levels of hope and action. We pause to remind you, as we typically do at the beginning of our show, that to remind you the Good Life radio program is to lead you to Christ, for you to know His love and His grace, His mercy, that whatever you're going through, my friend, right now, the Lord is here to help you. And I believe this program will remind you of the hope that is found in Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, who shed His blood on that cross to wash our sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And Jesus calls you to Himself today. And I ask you, would you open your heart to Christ? Would you repent of your sins? Turn from the ways you know that are opposite from the way God would have you to live and to go? And would you turn to Christ and surrender your heart to Him? Would you trust Him as your Lord and Savior? I hope so. I pray so. And others are praying that you would do so this very day. Perhaps even your family members and friends, they're praying. When God decides to do something, He selects a person who is responsive, willing, and faithful, who would in turn work with and build a team, all the while being prayerful and dependent on God. Today, you're going to hear from such a man who has asked to be unnamed so as not to take any attention away from God and what He has and continues to do through the powerful ministry of the annual Hawaii Prayer Breakfast. Join me now in this pre-recorded special feature. How did the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast originate?
It was about 1979 when Dr. Dick Halverson, who was the chaplain of the U.S. Senate, came here to Hawaii, and we had dinner with him, the co-founder and myself of the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast. And Dr. Halverson encouraged us to start a governor's prayer breakfast here in Hawaii. And he said that the fellowship back in Washington that puts together the national prayer breakfast would be willing to help us get started. And in fact, he said that they would even send people here to help us with organizing the prayer breakfast. He said that they had already made contact with Governor George Ariyoshi and Chief Justice Bill Richardson, and already have had gotten their support to start such an event.
What's the importance of such an event?
I guess number one is to glorify God, but also to bring together the leaders of the state, both secular and Christian, so that the state of Hawaii would receive some kind of awareness that God is sovereign and is in control over the affairs of men. And this way, our leaders of our state would at least have some means of Christian values and foundations.
You've seen through the years a lot of changes in the landscape of our society here in Hawaii. A lot has gone on the national as well as the international scene. We're talking wars, we're talking natural disasters, economic crises, and the things that go on in the everyday life, but many changes. But the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast has been an event that has gone on annually for decades. What would you attribute the sustainability of an annual event like that for so long?
That's an interesting question, because actually we have had attacks from all areas of society. Firstly, it was interesting because Governor Ariyoshi had assigned one of his top aides to coordinate this event. And he was actually a bishop in the Buddhist church. And the first statement he made to us was that Buddhists don't believe in prayer. But since he was told by Governor Ariyoshi that he was the one assigned to coordinate this event with us, he worked closely with us. But after the first event, he was so thrilled. And by the way, he had a weekly radio program. And he got on the air and just gushed about how wonderful this event was, and that he was all for it and would encourage people of the entire state, including his Buddhist constituents, to get involved in it. We were attacked by some of the other religions. We were attacked by conservative Christians. We were attacked by liberal Christians. And this is over the years. So I think that because we've survived for 35 years, and by the way, this is, we have one of the most secular states in the nation. We're the first nation that passed legislation for abortion. And of course, we have civil unions now. And of course, the secular lifestyle, the materialized lifestyle in Hawaii is very prevalent. So this is a very tough state for something like this. So I think that we attribute the fact that we've survived this long and have flourished to the power of God.
It's quite an amazing thing to see there at the Hilton Hawaiian Village every year. You know, we're talking about 1,500 constituents that come. What a gathering. You've had some great speakers come to give the keynote address over the years. Who of the list would you say really stands out, and why?
I think, well, that's a hard question, because we've had some really great speakers, and of course we attribute that to the Lord. We are a nonprofit foundation, and so we don't have any kind of the kind of resources to pay or give honorariums to a lot of these speakers. And the type of speakers that we've gotten, I'm sure that they would get five-figure amounts if they were invited by other organizations. But we were fortunate that we have gotten great speakers at very, very, it's almost free. But I think that if you're asking me what particular speaker would stand out, I probably would have to say Chuck Colson. He drew the highest number of attendance that we've ever had. It was about 2,100 people that came to that event. Mm-hmm. In fact, at the Hilton Hawaiian Village, we overflowed the ballroom, and we had to use their lounge and put up a closed-circuit television to accommodate the number of people. We could have actually got more than that, but we had to close it out at around 2,100. So in terms of numbers and also the impact that Chuck Colson made, there were a couple of state judges that indicated that they had prayed to receive Christ with Chuck. And there were about 174 people who indicated that they were spiritually impacted by Chuck's talk that day. So from that standpoint, I would say that Chuck Colson was probably the most outstanding speaker that we've ever had.
Why do you think he had that kind of impact?
I think that because of his testimony, very extraordinary, and to see how God could use a man who had so much power and was brought so low, and yet God transformed his life after, and of course, you know, he had served in a prison term and all of that, and yet went on to have such a tremendous ministry, prison fellowship, after he had gotten out of prison. So he just had such an extraordinary testimony. And of course, Chuck Colson is such a brilliant man and a extraordinary communicator. So his talk really impacted the audience. Oh, by the way, I like to regress a little bit when you on the question of how did this prayer breakfast get started. As we were putting together or assigned to organize to put together the governor's prayer breakfast, on a Sunday afternoon, I was taking a little nap and I got my phone rang, and on the phone was Joyce Fossey. And Joyce said that she and her husband had just gotten back from the Philippines, and they had been invited to attend the presidential prayer breakfast of the Philippines. And she said that the mayor, Frank, her husband, was so impressed by that event that he wanted to start a mayor's prayer breakfast in Hawaii. So I told Joyce that we were already working on a governor's prayer breakfast, and it didn't seem very logical to have two separate prayer breakfasts. So I asked her if the mayor would be open to having a combined governor and mayor prayer breakfast. And she said, yes, I think my husband would go for that. Now, the political reality at that time was that Governor Ariyoshi and Mayor Fossey were political enemies, very, very bitter enemies. And so we had to go to Governor Ariyoshi and ask him if he would be open to having a joint.
You're listening to a special pre-recorded interview with the person the Lord set apart and called to spearhead the beginning as a co-founder of the annual Hawaii Prayer Breakfast. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, he'll finish that part of the story of how two political rivals by the name of George Ariyoshi, Governor George Ariyoshi, and Frank Fossey, how they responded to the challenge could have been a point of tension, but in relation to the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast. Doing something great for God often starts with small things. Small things that turn into bigger and bigger things. But the Lord looks at the heart of leaders, leadership, teams, and how they take care of things that aren't as big, at least not now. You'll hear more from our guest when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
The fifth keynote speaker of the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast was President Gerald Ford. They've had other speakers like General Charles M. Duke Jr., who was the Apollo 16 lunar module pilot, and others like Chuck Colson and Governor John Ashcroft and other well-known names that are relevant even today. Well, our guest is the co-founder of the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast, which has been going on for more than 35 years, and he's here to talk with us heart-to-heart, talk story, as we do local style here in Hawaii, about the inception and growth of this great ministry of influence in these islands. Here's more in this pre-recorded interview with our special guest.
Me and Fosses were political enemies, very, very bitter enemies. And so we had to go to Governor Ariyoshi and ask him if he would be open to having a joint governor's mayor's prayer breakfast. And he, without blinking an eye, he consented to do that. So then we thought, well, if Governor Ariyoshi and Mayor Fosse are willing to put together a combined prayer breakfast on Oahu, why don't we make this a state prayer breakfast? So we contacted the mayors of all of the neighbor islands, and they also agreed that they would like to join in. So that's how it came to be that we had a governor's mayor's or state prayer breakfast.
Which is, I would imagine, rather unique on a national standpoint to have that.
Yes, I think so, because I think there's very few state prayer breakfasts. There are many, many city prayer breakfasts, and there might be a few governor's prayer breakfasts, but it's pretty isolated to maybe the state capital. But I think that we're unique in that it covers our entire state.
You mentioned something when you talked about Chuck Colson and his speaking, largest audience attendees, but also how he ministered to several of the influential leaders in our state. When it comes to influence, I mean, this is sort of like a power center where people of position come, whether you're talking business, education, politics, the religious life of society in the islands, they all come together. When we think about a person like Colson or some other leader that is able to communicate in such a way that people are more than transfixed by the message. They are open to an inward transformation in their heart. When it comes to people of power, and you've been around them, many of them, for many, many years, what is it in their hearts that you feel they long for, they yearn for, that makes the message of the gospel relevant to their life?
Well, I think that someone has said that there's a God-sized vacuum in every human's heart, and it cannot be filled by wealth or power, success, or anything else. It has to be filled by God. So I think that without God, everybody has or feels a vacuum or something missing in their lives. And by the way, the speakers that we choose, we stay away from ministers. We try to get people who are in government or in business or in athletics or people in whom our audience can really relate to. And when they hear of a top politician or a top businessman who I like them, they can relate to them on that level. And when they can share that they had a vacuum, or maybe they had a failure in their lives. It could have been a moral failure or other kinds of failures. And as a result of those failures crisis in their lives, they turn to Christ in many cases in desperation, and Christ is the one who has transformed their lives. And I think that when these types of testimonies are shared, the types of people that come to the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast can really relate to these people.
Mm-hmm. Who are some of the other speakers that, aside from Colson, who else have you had over the years?
Many people, but let me just recite some of the key ones. One of them was President Gerald Ford. And it was really interesting because President Ford didn't have any prepared text. He really spoke from his heart. And, of course, his wife Betty had problems with alcoholism. And he was very transparent about sharing that problem and how it was the Spirit of God who helped them through this crisis in their lives. So he had a great impact upon our audience.
When you talk about President, you were able to spend a few moments with him. What was your impression? Aside from what he spoke of in his message, on a more personal, seeing him, meeting him, how was that?
To tell you the truth, I didn't even get a chance to talk to him. As a president, that they're surrounded by secret service people, so they come and go really quick. So I don't think that hardly anybody had a chance to really spend time with him, and I had no contact with him.
And yet, when he spoke, with the transparency, he was able to convey a message of intense relatability to the audience.
Oh, no doubt about it. I people were flabbergasted that a president would be so transparent about personal problems that they were encountering, and the fact that they turned to God to receive the power to make it through this crisis in their personal lives. Hmm.
Who else have you? Who else stands out on that list?
We had a former Miss America, Debbie Turner. She was great. We had Senator Bill Armstrong of Colorado. He was great. We had Don and Barbara Hodel, who was on the cabinet in two departments. I forgot which two departments. But again, they had a very, very touching story because they were not believers. Their son had committed suicide, and as a result of that crisis in their lives, they came to know the Lord. So they had a very, very touching testimony. We had people like Russell O'Quinn, one of the top test pilots in the nation. We had people like a local favorite, Charlie and Lucy Wiedemeyer. Mm-hmm. Charlie was an ALS patient for 34 years before he finally passed away, and had a great ministry throughout the world. He was great. Another local person, Roy Yamamoto, who was a prison inmate. He and Elwin Ahu both had great testimonies. So these are some of the ones that really had an impact upon our audience.
Has the result of what you've seen over 35 years, is it anything like the vision that you had early on when you first started, or has it changed?
Oh, that's a difficult question. I think that the vision has not changed because the vision was sort of put into our minds by the people from the National Prayer Breakfast and what they have been doing in Washington since, I think it was 1954, with President Eisenhower and Conrad Hilton that started the National Prayer Breakfast. So, yes, I think that as far as the purpose and the goals of the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast, it was probably established when the National Prayer Breakfast people helped us to get it started.
Now let's go deeper. What would you say the impact has been on Hawaii over the last 30 plus years?
That's another hard question to answer. But I know from personal experience, in my business, we've tried to get between 3 to 7 tables, and we invite our employees, our business associates, family members and friends who are non-believers. And by the way, we really make it take an effort to bring non-believers. And I'm assuming that probably the majority of our audience that are in attendance are probably non-believers. So personally, I've seen people that I've brought to the prayer breakfast come to know the Lord as a result of the prayer breakfast. And I know that there's been others who have brought family members. A good friend of mine, he was for years trying to get his sister to come to church with him to accept Christ, but she was never, never interested in coming to church or going to church with him. But then when he invited her to this prayer breakfast, and she was probably more enthralled by the people that were going to be there, I mean, the governor and the mayors and military flag officers and so forth. So she probably came for the wrong reasons, but when she got there and heard the message, she became a believer in Jesus Christ.
The Hawaii Prayer Breakfast has been used by God to connect many with the love of Christ. It's been an incredible evangelistic tool, if we can say it that way, to relate with people who may not go to church or may not have an inclination, at least at that at this particular time in their life, but because of the influence, because of the names of the speakers and the environment, the Lord has strategically used it as a way to reach family members, friends, people of influence, power in our society. And the leader of the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast, or the co-founder, is our guest in studio in this pre-recorded interview. When we come back from our break, he's going to share more reflections, more insights about how God has used the event, how the Lord has used it to be a moment where a prayer can impact the lives of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in a state, and how it can, through political turmoils, ups and downs, and economic challenges, how God has used the answers to prayers to impact people's lives. You'll hear more from him when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
When somebody says, hey, look, I'm going to pray for you, does your heart open up to something like that when somebody says they're going to pray for you? Are you a beneficiary of people who pray? You may not even realize it, but people are praying for you. And if you are aware of it, well, if you're like me, then I think together we should be very grateful for that, because somehow in some way that we can't fully explain and even understand, when we pray, somehow the move of God, it invokes the move of God for us on our behalf in ways that become supernatural. And there is a spirit world that's that is just as real, even though we can't see it. We can certainly see the impact of it, both for good and for bad, that exists. But God, in that, God is using people who are dedicated to pray. And our leaders need prayer. Our legislative leaders need prayer. Our government, military leaders need prayer. Business leaders, and so on and so forth. And that's why the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast is such an important annual event. And today we have, in this special pre-recorded feature, the co-founder of the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast, sharing heart-to-heart with us how things developed and the way that he has seen God's hand move. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. You can get this program in its entirety as a free podcast at thegoodlifehawaii.com. We have that and other resources for you. And as always, I say, go ahead and listen to it and share it. Share it with a friend. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Now here's our special time with our very special guest. Listen, enjoy.
So she probably came for the wrong reasons. But when she got there and heard the message, she became a believer in Jesus Christ. So there are many stories like this. But as far as how widespread this has been, I can't answer that. Only God knows.
On the level of your own experience, you mentioned a number of people have come to know the Lord over the years. Explain to us the process. You're trying to reach someone. They don't go to church, but you invite them to the prayer. Maybe you have an example of one situation in particular. Just an explanation of what happened. So they go to the prayer breakfast. How do you use that as a way to reach someone and then lead them to the Lord?
Okay. Now, I've been a Christian for many decades. And I think that I can probably count with the fingers on one of my hands how many people that, or say business associate or friends, non-believers that I've invited to my personal church. However, as I said, we usually purchase about 3 to 7 tables and invite employees, business associates, and so forth and so on. Well, an example of your question. We have been dealing over the years with a company that's in the Fortune 500. In fact, they're one of the top 75 countries, 75 corporations in the nation. And we were just doing business about the time that one of our events was happening. So we asked, this fellow was here doing business with us, and we asked him to extend his stay by one day so that he could come to the prayer breakfast with us. And of course, our selling point to him was that we'll have the governor there, the mayors, top military leaders, and that we actually would have some of these leaders sitting with us on our table, and he could be introduced to some of these leaders. He extended his flight, was staying in Hawaii by one day. I mean, he went through all of that trouble. He came to the prayer breakfast. He was so excited about what he had experienced that morning that he went back to his corporation. And I think it was next year he got his corporation to become a financial sponsor of this event. Now, it took us several years before this fella finally accepted the Lord. And he was here in Hawaii, and he was supposed to have made a big, big presentation to the military, and that's why he was here in Hawaii. That morning, he suffered a heart attack, ended up in Straub Hospital. I went to visit him in the hospital, and fortunately, he was all right, although the doctor had told him that his attack was one of those widow makers. And I think usually about 85% of people who get that attack would pass away. Well, as I spent about 45 minutes with him, and as I was leaving, I asked him if I could pray for him. And he consented. And I noticed that as soon as I got through praying for him, I looked into his eyes and he was in tears. So the next day I came back to visit him again and spent about 3 hours, and we didn't even talk about business. We talked about personal things and then we got into spiritual things. And as a result of that, about 3 months later, he, his son, and his daughter, teenage son and teenage daughter, were baptized in a church in Southern California. So that's a personal example I can give.
It took time. You gave time. We're talking 3 hours, invitations, investment in sponsoring the tables so you could invite. But you really used the event as a way to relate with and connect the message of the gospel with people, many of whom are people of influence and means. How have you in leadership been able to stay at it year after year, decade after decade for, 35 years or so?
Well, this is a ministry of the Lord, and I feel very honored and privileged that he's allowed me to be a participant in it. I mean, this is his event. It's not my event or it's not the committee's event. It's his event. So he has invited us to participate with him. So I feel it's been a real privilege and honor. And of course, others that have been invited to participate also. We have a great, great group of people who do a lot of work to make this a success. And I think that they feel the same way that I do, that it's a privilege to be a part of God's ministry. It's not our ministry, it's His ministry. So we feel privileged that He has invited us to participate.
Whenever I have had the privilege of spending even a few moments with you, that has always been clear. And you're clear in your understanding, your awareness of the priorities of where you are in relation to what's going on. When you're spoken of, it's always with high regard when others are speaking. But in your presence, when we talk, it's always directing the attention to the Lord and a clear understanding that this is His event, His doing. It's refreshing to hear that and then to see that as such a fundamental or a very deep-seated value in your life. How did that come about? Where did your cognizance of who you are in Christ, how did that develop over the years?
I think for me personally, it was through crisis in my life. I thought that I was pretty, I had enough intelligence. I had the capabilities. I was smart enough to do things on my own. But I went through some catastrophic failures, and that is what drove me to the Lord, and that was what how I saw His transforming powers within my life. And so having experienced that through failures and crisis in my life, and seeing the work of the Lord to bring me comfort, peace, and joy through these crises, I think that's the foundation that God has given me in my life. By the way, we've been talking about the spiritual impact of the prayer breakfast up to now, but I want to emphasize that the primary purpose of the prayer breakfast comes from 1 Timothy 2:1-2, that we're commanded by God to pray for our leaders, no matter who they are, whether they're Republicans, Democrats, Independents, whether they're good or bad or whatever. We're commanded to, that we pray for all of our leaders. So that is the.
You're listening to a special pre-recorded program, an interview with the co-founder of the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast, which has been going on now for over 35 years. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, a story of an unexpected choice by God of a person to speak at the event who, as our guest says, it was unprecedented, the kind of impact that this speaker had. You'll be surprised where he came from. You'd be amazed at how God would even choose someone like that. But you'd be touched by the profound impact of what God can do through a person on a high-level platform like the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast. Stay with us. You want to hear this story. So we'll be right back. Stay with us now.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. This is a pre-recorded interview with the co-founder of the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast. Before our break, I let you know that he was going to share about an unexpected speaker that God used to turn the course of the quality of speakers and the content of speakers in the future, even to this very day. So we'll go back to that interview as you listen. Open your heart, because God wants to reach your heart and mine. Enjoy. You know, you mentioned a number of leaders. Is there any particular testimony that really stands out to you of that has impacted the audience greatly, other than Gerald Ford and Chuck Colson and some of the others you mentioned?
Yes, I think that we had a big turnaround pretty early in our history. We were warned by the National Prayer Breakfast that not to get too evangelical. In fact, not to get evangelical at all. And so up to that point, our speakers were mostly politicians. And we found that many of these politicians were very great orators. And when you heard them speak, they sounded great. But what I used to do in those early years was that we would transcribe their speech, and we would have them printed up. And next, in the following year, as we send out the invitations, we would also include the printed talk of the previous year's speaker. And I found in transcribing this speech that a lot of times there was no substance to it. When we heard them up on in the event, because they were such great orators, they sounded great. But when we started to transcribe their speech, there was nothing of spiritual substance. And so that sort of bothered me quite a bit, in fact. So anyway, there was one year, and this was, I think, about the sixth or seventh year, we were supposed to get a congressman from Washington to be our keynote speaker. For some reason, I felt led to call his office the day before the prayer breakfast to just make sure that he got off all right to on his way to Hawaii. When I got his secretary, she had a long pause, and finally she said, "I'm sorry, but the congressman is not coming." And I said, "How come?" And she said, "Well, he was told by the speaker that he had to stay back for an important vote."
So he had to stay back. He was called by the speaker to have to stay back for an important vote.
Yes, so he was not coming. So this was less than 24 hours before the prayer breakfast, and we were just in a panic mode. So we called Governor Ariyoshi and said, "You know, Governor, our keynote speaker, this congressman, is not able to come. Would you be willing to be the keynote speaker?" And he said no. So we called the Speaker of the House and asked him, and he said, "No, he does not want to do it." And finally, about 8 o'clock that night, this is the night before the prayer breakfast, we called back the governor and said, "You know, Governor, we still can't find a speaker. Would it be okay with you if we got someone from the prison to share his testimony?" And the governor said, "As long as it's not me, I don't care who you get to replace the keynote speaker." So anyway, we always had invited prison inmates and their administrators, and probably about two tables full of prison inmates. So at the proper time, our MC got up and in the program and said that apologized that our keynote speaker was detained in Washington and was not coming, but that we have a substitute speaker. So he introduced this prison inmate who came up from the floor and took the podium. And basically, he shared his testimony without any notes, quoting scripture verses, telling about how his life was transformed, and then left the podium and went back to sit on the floor, with his fellow inmates. The audience gave him a standing ovation. Governor Ariyoshi ran down, grabbed his hand, pulled him up back to the podium, and the audience gave him another standing ovation. So we just felt that, wow, from this point on, we're going to get keynote speakers who have a message to tell, and that could move and transform lives as these speakers' lives have been transformed by the power of God. So I guess if there was any key person that I can go back to in these 35 years, this prison inmate was one of them.
Wow. With all these big known, well-known names, prison inmate that gets called up basically that morning, right?
Yes.
Can you give them how did that go, by the way? When you asked the inmate to get up and speak, or if he would speak, how did that person respond?
Oh, no, he knew the night before.
He knew the night before,
yes.
But how, you know, it's still a short notice in such a large audience, and you said no notes, just got up there and spoke,
yes.
Quoted scripture.
And he was a Samoan inmate, but he was very articulate. I don't think we could have gotten a better substitute, even though if it was another congressman or whatever. I mean,
and that speaker's name was Tautunu Tanuvasa has been used by God to speak, mighty man of the scriptures, speaking to our state leaders in various capacities, and how God has used them. It's certainly a word of hope for all of us, how God can use each of us for his purpose. I hope you've been encouraged today by these heartfelt and deep insights shared by our featured guest. You know, God's timing is perfect, and as I typically say, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with somebody near you. And if you, my friend, haven't done so yet, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. We've got something there for you to stand with us financially. Make a donation. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. 1 Timothy 2:1-2 says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest. Find out more at hawaiiprayerbreakfast.org. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, our guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.